City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Queercast show number 195. Man, we are creeping up to the 200th show on the Windy City Queercast. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
Yes, you are Mitchell Fain.
Yes, how are
you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm so close to leaving for
You're leaving tomorrow.
I'm leaving tomorrow on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Tomorrow.
In a couple of days.
A couple of days.
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is. I'm so crazed. If you could see me, I have crazy eyes.
You're cute.
Thank you.
You're cute even with your crazy eyes.
So much shit to do.
So I saw a delightful movie.
What'd you see?
And Richard Knight Jr., our movie queen, is going to be on
in a couple weeks.
He's great. He's going to be on a couple weeks to talk to us about spring movies. But I've really been trying to catch up. Like, I still have not watched No Country for Old Men. Because I just can't. I just know it's violent and I haven't been able to watch it yet. But
overrated.
Is it?
I think.
Yeah, you think it is.
You're probably going to get some angry responses to that. Overrated.
You thought it was overrated.
I thought it did.
There will be blood. The only person.
I thought it was brilliant. No Country for Old Men, I thought it was overrated.
Huh. Okay. Well, I need to see them both. But I have No Country for Old Men on the coffee table, and I have not watched it yet. But I watched Waitress.
Loved it.
Oh my God.
Loved it. My friend Eddie's in it.
Oh, you're kidding.
Louise.
Oh, yeah.
Louise's brother-in-law is in that movie.
Wait, is he the
he's a nerdy guy that
who's
loves
with Adrienne Shelley who died.
That, yes, that's Eddie.
I knew him.
He's also in the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 movies.
Oh, he's
like the computer nerd. He's one of the most brilliant. Eddie Jensen.
He's Phil's brother?
No, Louise's sister's husband.
Oh, her sister's husband.
Laura. Laura married Eddie Jameson. And they have a little baby. And he's so brilliant. And if you haven't seen Waitress, it is
great,
a gem, gem,
what
gem.
What a great movie. Carrie Russell, Felicity. So good. Why was she not nominated for this film?
Too small. Nobody went to see it. I actually saw it in the movie theater because Eddie was in it. So I went at the Davis in Lincoln Square.
Which is kind of like the Penny movie theater place.
Yes. Yeah. Although it's not that cheap anymore.
Sticky floor and good popcorn though.
Really, really good popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, Amy. I loved it too. Adrienne Shelley, Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. And Carrie Russell.
So good. A wonderful small part by Andy Griffith.
Yes, really great. And also the guy who plays Dana Delaney, who's also one of my crushes, Dana Delaney's husband on Desperate Housewives,
yes,
who plays the gynecologist, plays a gynecologist.
That's right.
The guy is typecast a gynecologist. How funny is that?
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful little film. And if you haven't seen it, it's really wonderful. And that story about how Adrienne Shelley, who wrote it and is in it, how
she was murdered in her
apartment. She was murdered. She had Before the movie was even released.
Before it was released. Before they went to Sundance. They got accepted to Sundance and then she was murdered.
She had a dispute with some construction workers who were working in her
Teenage kind of construction worker who was working on a floor below or above and came up and killed her.
Yeah, she had a disagreement with him. She got into an altercation with him because of, I don't know the exact story, but she just thought that she was basically, you know, asserting herself and her rights to like not be taken advantage of in the situation. And then unfortunately he did not have the, he's a psychopath.
Yeah,
and
he killed her.
And
hung her from a shower rod. Anyhow, that's all so horribly disturbing. And what is sad is that it was a bright, shining light. She wrote it, she directed it, and she co-stars in it.
Yeah.
And you just think, wow. And her daughter, her 2 or 3 year old little daughter was in it. But honestly, it is laugh out loud, bring tears to your eyes, so quirky, so funny, such a good movie. So it's my, like, you know, two vajayjays way up.
Can I give a pick of the week too?
Please.
This is an old movie that a lot of people I don't think have seen. And I just, my friend Sheila was in town, and she's a major cinephile. And I mentioned a movie called The Clock that I just assumed she had seen because it's an old 1940s film. And I just assumed she'd seen it because she's a major, like, film buff. And it just was sort of like a glitch in her film education. Hmm. And I said, you know, Sheila, you have to Rent the Clock, and it's a Vincent Minnelli film with Judy Garland and Robert Walker.
Yeah.
And it's the only non-musical that Judy did at MGM, like back in her old school days.
Yeah.
And it is, I won't even tell you about it. It's
The Clock,
except to say it is just a gem and a lost treasure that most people don't know. It's a classic that a lot of people don't know, and it's delicious, and that's my pick of the week. And then if you're interested and you want to sort of have a discussion, go to SheilaO'Malley.com.
There you go.
And she wrote an unbelievable post about Vincent Minnelli as a filmmaker and Judy as an actress and Robert Walker and that film and the use of close-up and the use. She's a really incredible... If you love film and love to talk about film, Sheila's blog is really amazing. And
blog is awesome.
It's really awesome. But that's my pick of the week. So The Waitress and The Clock.
Well, those are two very good movies.
It's like an entertainment.
And very different.
And this is like an entertainment review.
It is. You know what? The problem is I keep watching Netflix and I keep watching my TiVo. And what I really need to be doing is my fucking taxes. Because two things are going to come, death and taxes. Yeah, and
I did mine.
You have.
Oh, I had to because I'm leaving.
You're leaving. Yeah. Here's the thing. I have not filed on time. I have had to file a extension for the past 6 years.
Why?
Well, because I had a business.
Oh, right.
And with businesses, it's screwed up. And we sold the business finally a year ago in the building. And so now I'm on bended knee that I could actually file my taxes on time. So I'm really trying to get them done because I'm getting right ahead to Tennessee. I may, I'm going to say this now, so maybe I'll do it. I may get some... do some QueerCast recording with my family while I'm in Tennessee.
Oh my God, how
which
fun.
Would be super cool. But but I'm going to Tennessee and my accountant's there. I'm just going for 3 days. I have to get out of here. I mean, I know we just had the snow and now it's getting a little warmer, but I have to.
No,
I got to go. And I got to go see my grandmama, my 99-year-old nanny.
Oh, do I miss my grandma?
Yeah. It's the only grandparent I got left, but she's 99 and she's amazing.
I don't have any left.
Oh. I've only had this one for many, many years, for 20 years or more than 20 years. I've only had my grandmother, who I call Nanny, and she lives in this huge farm all by herself, 99, gets around, kicking it at 99.
Nanny.
She's kind of like, I think God forgot about me.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know what I'm still doing here, but she laughs and she goes, you know, they tell me, when she goes to the doctor, they tell me I'm just about as good as a 75 or 80 year old. And then your mama got kind of upset. So
that's funny. My grandmother lived to be, I think she was 102 when she passed.
Wow.
And I remember her saying she lived in this, you know, building that was for seniors and she got around very well until very much at the end.
Yeah.
And I remember her saying, I said, you know, I called you earlier, but you didn't pick up the phone. She said, I'll do her voice. She said, I was down the hall talking to the little old lady. And I said, Bubby, you know, Jewish for grandma. I said, Bubby, you're 98 years old. Yeah. How much littler and she was 4'7". How much littler and how much older could this woman possibly be? Which, of course, she wasn't. She was like 20 years younger.
Yeah, that's my grandmother. Yeah. She used to say, well, you know, I got to help walk the little old 82-year-olds into church. And she's like 95 at the time with her. So
the little old lady lived down the hall.
Yeah. I love how we do our grandmothers. I know, we should. I actually record my grandmother quite a lot when I go home with the same recorder that we're recording our podcasts with. And I record her. Sometimes I tell her. Sometimes I don't.
Aww.
I don't. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sell it or anything, but I just love it. It's just.
Grandma, can I tell you a funny story about my grandmother?
Yeah, please
when
do.
When she was in her early 90s, there was this, you know, I'm from Cranston, Rhode Island. And there was this like Cranston.
Shout out Cranston.
Shout out Cranston. What's up, y'all? Nobody talks like that in Cranston. In Cranston, people talk like this. Like, not for nothing, but what are you doing here? Anyway, so.
It's like Mystic Pizza.
Yeah, except a little farther north. So there was this senior pageant, right?
A senior pageant?
Yeah, like Miss Cranston Senior, whatever. Uh-huh. And my booby wanted to enter it. And so she decided that she wanted to do like a fake striptease.
Okay.
In her 90s. So.
Very Little Miss Sunshine, but okay.
Yes, and I choreographed it for her.
You did?
One of the joys of my life. I mean,
what was the music you picked?
It was the song The Stripper by David Rose. Da 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 ba ba ba. Anyway, so, oh my God. So she literally stripped down to like a very demure, very covered everything, sort of like old-fashioned bathing suit in her 90s. So she was a hell of a dancer, by the way, my grandmother. She was a very good dancer. But how funny is that? Like, one of my favorite moments in my whole life with my grandmother was like us in her like rec room in her building with the boom box, right? Playing the song over and over again and giggling. So I was like, no, you really have to throw the glove. You have to take the glove off and throw the glove. So cute.
Brilliant.
Really cute.
Brilliant.
I miss her.
I love it. You know, we are on our show today. We are going to have the fantastic Jinx Titanic,
wow,
who you judged with a week ago.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a daddy.
He is a daddy.
He's a daddy. I love Jinx. I met Jinx back when I was doing Les by Gay Radio on the AM band, and he came in with another woman and a little tiny ukulele or some kind of guitar, and he sang some fun little country music. He had this rough, gruff mm-hmm. voice. And then I turn around at a Market Days big celebration, which is our big street festival in the summer here in Chicago. It's about the queerest thing
mm-hmm.
on Nine Inch Heels. Hmm. And he was on stage with this punk band mm-hmm. called Super 8 Cumshot. And I was like, I thought you sang country. Well, he's reinventing himself again, a la Madonna. I think he wants his own place in the Hall of Fame, the Rock Hall of Fame. But he's reinvented himself again. He's actually traipsing out to the desert, which he'll tell you more about, because he is now on a new venture called Gospel Titanic, where he is literally, he'll tell you all about it, but now he
it's
is going into the whole world of gospel music. And he is...
He's sort of all about debunking all these sort of like, all the ways in which people use the Bible against gay people.
Yeah.
And he's really about setting the record straight on that.
Yeah. Well, he and I, we got into a conversation, which we're not going to air because I didn't record it, but we were hanging out at Jackhammer to record together, and you know what was interesting is that they're promoting the final Jinx Titanic, and also Super 8 Cumshot mm-hmm. will be performing on April 4th at Jackhammer, but we were hanging out there at Jackhammer, and I'm watching the television screens with the enormous porno films going on, and these men totally getting off. I'm the only girl in there, and it's in the afternoon. It's all a bit weird when I go, this is what I make my living doing, but we really got in this intense conversation, you know, about spirituality.
Uh-huh.
And I was really able to say to him, you know, really it has been my mission. I guess since I was on Les by Gay Radio and I was used to do a segment called Minister with a Message with Reverend Greg Dell.
Uh-huh.
And Greg Dell was the minister of a Methodist church here that I attended for many years. And I'm still a member of, but I haven't been in a little while. But, you know, he was held up by the United Methodist Church and put on trial by the church. He was on CNN and everything because he married two gay men, and he was the first pastor to do that.
Yeah.
It made national news after the United Methodist Church said you couldn't marry same-sex people. So he was put on trial. He was taken from his pulpit for a year. You know, it was a very emotional story, but it really started me on this quest of exploring sexuality, I guess, homosexuality and spirituality. not only with Christianity, but with Judaism at the time. I was also interviewing and having different people write about their faith and their sexuality in a magazine we had here in Chicago called Identity. And, you know, we talked, I was on a quest to see how many different people of whatever spirituality. I had somebody who was Latter-day Saints write. I had somebody Jewish write, Catholic, Protestant, Wicca. I had a Kabbalist write who studied the Kabbalah.
A Baha'i.
I did not have a Baha'i. I stopped doing the column. But I'm just fascinated by it. I think it's such an important, important conversation for our community to have, because I've always said that I feel that our community has replaced our sexuality with our spirituality. And I believe that every society around the globe has as one of the cornerstones of their cultures some sort of faith or spirituality. They're not the same. I'm not talking about Christianity.
Right.
I'm talking about a spiritual way of life that works for those cultures, that is kind of the heart and spirit of the cultures. And somehow I think the GLBT community has put our sexuality in that role. And they're also two separate roles. It's not that the sexual can't be spiritual.
Right. I think, you know, this is, can you make me a promise that when I get back, we can
have
a whole show about this?
Or we'll do it via Skype and we'll do it from Egypt. We'll figure that out.
I think that we have done that. I also think it's been foisted upon us, because when people hear gay or lesbian, they immediately think sex, and therefore societally we are ghettoized by our sex choices.
But we have allowed ourselves to put into the ditch.
Yes.
Like, we've allowed ourselves to be disenfranchised from our spiritual selves by saying we don't belong. And it's really our responsibility. Yes.
I think it's harder to break those societal things than not. It takes some work. And that's our next journey as a community.
We have to talk about this. We will, I guess, when you get back, or from wherever you are. Bon voyage, my sweet love.
I will miss you so much.
We will talk via computer.
Yes, we will
talk and email and blog and whenever you can get online. And it's the World Wide Web now. It's everywhere. Everywhere you want to be.
Yeah.
And but Jinx Titanic taking up the charge on this conversation that Mitchell and I have started.
Sexy motherfucker.
And he's a sexy motherfucker with a great voice. Yeah. So we're going to play some stuff today from his last Jinx Titanic. You're hearing some of that in the show. But Jinx Titanic on the show, live from Jackhammer. We're talking, and enjoy.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone,
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture.
Club.
Culture.
Club.
Culture.
Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 24th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Gay playwright Joel Drake Johnson, author of Before My Eyes and The End of the Tour, is back at Victory Gardens with his latest dark comedy, Four Places, serving up family dysfunction since 1955. Family drama unspools over an unusual lunch date. For a dose of delicious family humor mixed with a bit of heartache, go see this surprising new comedy playing now through May 4th at Victory Gardens Biograph. Call 773-871-3000 or visit victorygardens.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Bronte by Polly Teal. This inventive drama explores the question of how a trio of Victorian spinsters could have written some of the most passionate literature of all time. Bronte runs March 20th through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and more information, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Writers Theater presents As You Like It by William Shakespeare, directed by William Brown. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. A courtship with a twist, men in exile, a melancholic wit, a clown, a lovesick shepherd, all swirl together in a wild romp. Some of the most charming scenes ever in this most perfect of comedies. For more about As You Like It, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Court Theater reimagines one of the greatest musicals of all time, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, now playing through April 13th. When carnival barker Billy Bigelow meets mill worker Julie Jordan, fate sends them both on a journey that spans heaven and earth as they explore the limits of love, human frailty, and redemption. For tickets, visit courttheater.org.
See what the Chicago Sun-Times calls some of the most dazzling acting you will ever see anywhere. A Steady Rain at the Royal George Theater. Quote, a must-see smash hit drama, a sizzler, says the Tribune, and one of the top 10 productions of 2007 by the Tribune, Daily Herald, New City, and UR. A Steady Rain. Two Chicago cops take a routine domestic disturbance call that changes their life forever. You can save $10 on tickets. Enter code STEADY in the promotion special offers box on Ticketmaster.com.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Ad Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Do you ever feel like you're on a one-sided relationship? That your boyfriend or your girlfriend just doesn't communicate with you in the way that you'd like? Well, bitches, I want you to post a comment. Post a comment. Go to any show. It's so easy. Go to our website, WindyCityQueerCast.com, and let me know what you think. Talk to me, babies. I want to hear from you. Go to WindyCityQueerCast.com, post a comment. I promise I'll get back to you.
And this is your Windy City QueerCast news.
In Pennsylvania, a Senate bill that approves a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage is one step closer to a Senate floor vote. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 10-4 to approve the bill. The bill will now go on to Appropriations Committee, and if it is approved, will move to the Senate floor for a vote. However, if approved, the bill would also need to be passed by the 2009-2010 legislature before the referendum can be placed on the November 09 ballot for voters to decide.
Two Florida legislators introduced legislation to allow gays and lesbians to adopt. In Florida, gay and lesbian people can't adopt due to a 30-year ban that Governor Charlie Crist supports. However, they can be foster parents. State Senator Nan Rich and State Rep Mary Brandenburg introduced legislation that would allow a judge to decide whether being adopted by a lesbian or gay person or same-sex couple is in the child's best interest.
Democratic National Committee Chair Howard Dean recently criticized the Washington Blade's continuing coverage of the discrimination lawsuit of a gay DNC staffer who was fired 2 years ago. Dean criticized, saying he has given up on the Blade and that the coverage of the DNC has been incorrect. The National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association has announced its support of the publication as it pursues the story.
An out lesbian now heads the liberal group People for the American Way. Lesbian civil rights lawyer Catherine Colbert is the organization's new president. Colbert has a partner of 30 years and two kids.
The organizers of Moscow Pride, which was banned last year, have invited the mayors of Berlin, London, and Paris to attend Moscow Pride in 2008. London Mayor Ken Livingstone has previously said that attending the event was a possibility. Moscow Pride is set to take place May 30th and 31st. Last year's attempt at throwing the event resulted in violence against gays and the event's organizers.
The Greek Orthodox Church recently spoke out against the Greek government's move to extend legal protections to unmarried couples with domestic partner legislation. The church described the action as a catastrophic bomb, even though legislation doesn't include same-sex couples. The Greek government is notoriously anti-gay. Greek gay activists are angry that same-sex couples are, so far, not included in the legislation. Over 200 blogs joined an online initiative called Greek Bloggers Against Discrimination.
Rita Mae Brown, lesbian author of 37 novels, including the groundbreaking Ruby Fruit Jungle, told Time magazine that she doesn't understand same-sex marriage. Quote, I don't understand it. I don't even know why straight people want to get married because you invite the government in your bedroom. But that's okay. It seems to be a very basic human need that I don't share. Brown is promoting her new novel, The Perfect Murder.
Even though the remaining half of the third season of The End's South of Nowhere was supposed to premiere in 2 weeks, it has been bumped until the fall. The End has received mountains of feedback regarding the news, but explains that it is out of respect for the show and for you, the fans, that we're trying to give it the time and attention it deserves. South of Nowhere is a teen drama that features a main character who is a lesbian and deals with issues of sexuality and identity. And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hello, radio listeners. I want to take you to a place far, far away, a theater. Go ahead, close your eyes. Unless you're driving, that would be bad, but otherwise, go ahead, close your eyes. You're walking into the theater. You're going to see that musical that all your friends have raved about, a musical that has received love letters from critics, tons of Tony Awards, and thunderous ovations every night. You settle into your seat, you're told to turn off your cell phones, and you do so, and then it begins. This marvelous, comedically inspired piece of theater full of delightful songs, madcap moments, and an ultimately moving climax. You laugh, cheer, applaud, and then it happens. You finally discover what that crazy, somewhat obscure title refers to, for at last, she stands before you in all her somewhat inebriated glory, the drowsy chaperone. Radio listeners, believe me when I tell you, you are in for an extraordinary treat. The Drowsy Chaperone. Unusual title, perhaps. Unforgettable evening, most definitely.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater April 1st through 13th. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hey, Amy. Love the new format on the Windy City Queercast. You're naughty.
Super 8 Cumshot Ling singer has been out on his own as Jinx Titanic, but now his personality has been born again. Hallelujah.
Oh, you know.
I do. Soon at Jackhammer, which is where we're hanging out to do this lovely interview up in Edgewater at the Hot Bar Jackhammer, Jinx will perform the last Jinx Titanic show ever on Earth. Say it isn't so. April 4th at the Flesh Hungry Dog Show. Jink is exiting the highway to hell for the road to glory, launching a whole new career with Gospel Titanic. And I'm just so thrilled to hang out with you. How the hell are you?
I'm so happy.
Yeah, the buzz is out.
I'm happy. The word is out. I didn't know you knew all that. It's great to see you. And you know what's so funny? We come so full circle because I'll never forget talking to you after the first Super 8 Cumshot Show at Market Days.
Yeah.
And you were like, Oh my God, I thought he was a country singer.
Well, this is the thing. This is what I want to talk about. Like you, and we've got so much to catch up on, but I mean, obviously we're plugging the show in Chicago, but yeah. But if people don't live in Chicago, you have like a musical legacy, because I did. I met you on Lesbian Gay Radio. You came in with a little tiny guitar and a ukulele,
right,
or something.
It was
and
way out on like
something
Milwaukee
about a
Avenue
honeybee
or
Shake My Sugar Tree or... I don't remember what this... I remember it so distinctly. I can almost remember the
song. Honey from a Bee.
Honey from a Bee. There you go. I knew it was something like that. It was something like Jungle Bookie sounding song.
Right.
And and I remember hanging out, and then I turn around, and then you're doing this absolutely kind of thrashing punk band, assault music to the senses. And now you're on a whole new foray. So are there just... Are you Sybil? Are you stealing Sally Field's thunder? Or do you just have such musical interests in all these different modes of musicality that you just kind of don't want to sit too long in one place?
Well, you know what? I think it's all about diversity.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of what moves you at the time. And a lot of, I guess, you know, I don't know. I've never really tracked it. But a lot of it is, I think I respond... The songs I write kind of respond to just kind of where my head is going and where my head is traveling, you know?
Yeah.
And the Super 8 cum shot Jinx Titanic phenomenon, because it really, if you had asked me when we did that first show, which was a Windy City show, if, you know, 6 years later, I'm going to be sitting there with like five albums and this like list of things.
That was that the incarnation of Camus, right?
That Windy City show, I was, right, it was after.
Yeah.
There was a record I had made called Guns, which was very Americana-based. Mm-hmm. And some of the songs, it was after the show I did called Future City Homosexual Tells All at the theater building.
Yeah.
And I decided not to release it because I was invited to do this show with Dylan Rice and Ellen Rosner. And I was in San Francisco, and I was staying with my aunt, who was dying at the time.
Oh, wow.
Of ovarian cancer.
Oh, wow.
And I was cranky about so much, about watching my aunt die, just kind of this general kind of like back to the roots kind of punk stuff started stirring up in
me.
And when I was called to do the show, the last thing I felt like was doing a show. And all the shows before had been really orchestrated. There were 12 people in the band. We had a string section, background singers.
Right.
And literally I got the call and I was like, fuck this, is what I felt. And it was just where my head was. And I wrote some loud, fast songs.
And the Now Are Legend.
Right. And I wrote You Make Me Want to Come. And I called up Machine Gun. And I'm like, look, all right. We've been invited to do this show, but this is what we're going to do. And I've written all these new songs, and let's just do it. And at the time, we were called Scared Straight.
Okay.
Was the name of the
now that one I totally missed.
That was the name
of
the band.
Was that like for a nanosecond?
We went in just for that day.
Yeah, for one day.
Well, because we didn't know it was going to be anything.
Yeah.
And then we did that show, and it was kind of one of those aha experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all looked and we're like,
this is something.
This is really good. We can move forward with this. And 2 weeks later, we recorded the first record, Super 8 Cum Shot Volume 1.
Oh, my gosh.
And
whirlwind.
It was, the show was April 26th. And I think, I can't remember when in May, but somewhere around like May 20th, the record came out, like fully produced and wrapped and everything. We recorded it in 4 hours. We called an engineer we knew. We had gotten, I don't know.
It's like an assault recording,
yeah,
too.
It was crazy. It was like all of a sudden everybody had their name, and Super 8 Cum Shot was, who knows where it came from. It was just what it was. And literally the train left the station and just boom for 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, nonstop.
And then Jinx Titanic evolved out of Super 8 Cum Shot.
Well, when we were making the record, here's how I got that name. We were making the record and we're like, well, shoot, this is not the same kind of band we've all been in.
Right.
We need punk rock names.
We need punk.
We need
to be
a little
Ace.
More badass.
Somebody
right.
needs to be. I mean, it was Gene just, Simmons.
It was funny how it all kind of came. You know, I mean, I was when I was younger, like in high school, I was really into the punk scene, and that was like the early.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your influences were. I mean, obviously, you had some country and folk influences too.
Yeah,
though. I mean, who were like kind of your big influences? I mean, in all these genres.
The strange thing is, I grew up in a very musical household. I mean, you know, I mean, it's the classic story. I started singing in choir when I was in fifth grade. My father played clarinet and saxophone. We were exposed to Bach. We were exposed to the comedy of Alan Sherman, you know.
Right.
We were exposed to to rock and roll. I remember being a little kid watching Patti Smith on the Tom Snyder Show.
Oh, you know?
And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. So we had a lot of exposure. We were taken to opera. I mean, and that's, you know, a credit to my parents there.
Yeah. Where were you raised?
I was raised in Chicago.
Oh, you were, right here.
Yeah. And so I kind of had a rich musical background, and I think that's, you know, I don't know. That's kind of why I am who I am.
The diversity of all the many.
You know, and so we made the record, and that was it. And we were like, this is it. And I also realized what was important to me was that it was kind of a new sense of revolution. Another way that I could be involved within the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. I hate having to use all the words. Can we just...
GLBT.
Let's just
the
say...
Queer.
I just... You know what? I kind of like, because...
Alternative.
Alternative is kind of like what?
I think of Nirvana when you say alternative.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Exactly. Old Q101. Who knows what it is? But the point is, it was a way to also continue to make a statement, you know?
And were there other queer... like queer punk rockers out there, or do you all really setting the tone?
There was always,
or were there people
Pansy
to look
Division
to?
And right. Extra Fancy and Los Crudos. I mean, there was always a faction. We just really weren't a part of it, because I think by the time that kind of was all bubbling over, first of all, I was living in Italy at the time.
You were?
Yeah.
Where in Italy?
I was living in Milan.
Were you really?
Yeah. And actually I missed like Nirvana and all that. I came back and I'm like, who's this Nirvana you're all talking about?
Yeah.
Because it was still dance music and Paula Abdul kind of over there, you know?
Yeah.
And,
Euro.
And so, yeah, there was a big thing that we were fortunate enough to plug in. I mean, sometimes we're lumped into that homocore category. And there's always actually, there's even been like negative press sometimes about like, well, what are you? Are you rock? Are you punk? And if you were punk, you would be this, or you wouldn't that. And you know what? It's just really, it's kind of like the form of the Super 8, Cumshot, Jinx, Titanic music is, it serves like the message, basically, you know? And part of it, too, is we wanted to create a big pansexual party. And it was actually, it was a release for me after, you know, spending day after day with a person dying of ovarian cancer, you know? And certainly those of us in the older tiers of you know, gay and lesbian lifestyle, we know what it's like to spend a lot of time with somebody dying, and it just sucks. And
this new generation has no, they just don't, it's just a void for them. They don't get it because they didn't live through it. But
exactly,
I mean, people in your and my generation,
so part of it was a political statement, part of it was a release, part of it was just going back to my own, like, you know, being into the Ramones when I was in high school and saying, and you know what, though?
Rock and roll high school,
right,
dude.
Exactly. And this is also a simple way, you know, this is a simple way, accessible to the ear, to get the message across.
So what is this gospel Titanic?
What's coming up?
What is new? Now, wait, have you been ordained? Is this true?
I am a minister. I have got...
When did this happen?
I have got a mission. It happened during the last year, and I will tell you something.
Because you've had a year. Tell me about your year.
Oh, well, I had... where do I start? In a nutshell. Here we go. In a nutshell.
Because this is how a born-again moment happens for a person. You've had a year.
Well, right. All right. So there I was, and we had just recorded Superstardom, and we had done the record with Steve Albini, and we were just, like, riding high. It was the greatest recording experience we had ever had. It was like our...
Not 4 hours this time,
big,
right?
No. Not 4 hours. It was our first kind of big heavyweight experience, and we were loving it. And I was on a hiking trip out in California near Palm Springs, and I had severely herniated a disc, I kind of knew was coming from just the type of athleticism involved in our shows, you know?
Yeah.
But it landed me in bed for 5 weeks in waiting to get in with a surgeon from Johns Hopkins who was going to do the surgery at Northwestern, because it was so badly herniated the disc had pressed the nerve into the bone.
Wow.
And all I could do was kind of take Vicodin, smoke cigars, and drink scotch.
Wow.
And so it was kind of this weird...
Thank God for that.
Right. It was kind of this weird idyllic Hollywood, because I was staying at a friend's house in the Hollywood Hills. So, I mean, you know, it was kind of this weird,
very rock star
fog. Yeah, I'm like drunk and high and smoking cigars in this great house in the Hollywood Hills. But I was in a lot of pain, so I had the surgery and I developed a very rare complication called epidural fibrosis from it, which happens to less than 1% of the people that had the surgery, and they also had to remove some bone just because of the placement of things. So all of a sudden, I had this epidural fibrosis, which is basically scar tissue growing around your nerves, which means every time you do anything, you're like yelping in pain. You know? You're kind of dismissed by Western medicine. They want to either give you something to calm your whole central nervous system, like what they give to epileptics, or you can...
Like a Klonopin or...
It's called Neurontin.
Okay.
You know? And they basically keep building up a tolerance to your body. And I'm like, How long would you have to do that? And they're like, some people for the rest of their lives.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm hoping I'm not even at the halfway point, you know?
Yeah.
So... I was really upset because that was the only response. Painkillers and this. Physical therapy gave up. I started doing incredible, like, alternative, just health measures and just forcing myself to do physical therapy. And I was doing 3 to 4 hours of physical therapy a day. I spent almost 3 months of this year in bed. So when the record did come out in April, we couldn't promote it.
Wow.
The whole band sitting there like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know, you guys. I think I'm dying, you know. Slowly.
Were you doing acupuncture?
So I did acupuncture. I was doing Chinese medicine. I mean, you name it. It was like on my list.
Yeah.
And then just when I was coming out of it in November, I went for a routine physical and had a tumor and a questionable cell mass.
Cell mass.
Right. Well, they didn't want to classify it as cancer at the time. I had to have several biopsies. Long story short, I ended up having 3 surgeries between November and January this year. Removal of a tumor, removal of this strange, kind of ambiguous, well, it could be called cancer if you were at a less conservative hospital, we'll just say we're glad we got it out kind of experience.
Wow.
And yeah, and so I was like, what the heck is going to happen next? So in the meantime, the whole band is kind of falling apart because we can't do anything.
Right.
I'm a doped up lunatic for most of the year.
Right.
And then I get these other diagnoses, and then I get to the point where, you know what? Whatever. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Nothing can shake me. And also, but it also gave me a lot of time to be alone and to work on other music. And because of what I was saying about the whole Jinx Titanic, Super 8 Cum Shot train, it really was. It was stunning to me how much we had really accomplished in those years. And it was almost like we were like, let's do this, and the door would open.
Huh.
And it was like all of a sudden, after this, I mean, I was... You know,
law of attraction right there.
Yeah,
you've got it, baby.
I mean, it was crazy. I was doing the correspondent work for Q Television Network,
right?
And that had gone through. We had 3 television series in the works at one point. We were performing all these great festivals. We'd won the Out Music Award, you know, I mean... I was hosting with Leah Delaria, who, like, you know...
Yeah.
It was crazy, you know? All this crazy stuff. And then all of a sudden, everything stops.
Yeah.
After you make, like, the best record of your life, everything stops, and you're stuck in bed every single day. And you memorize every episode of Law and Order.
You don't ever hear that again.
And you eat Vicodin. And you're like so happy when USA Network is going to release a new show. And you're getting fat like a pig because you're taking so many different steroids and things like that. And you're forcing yourself to get in the pool. And then you're like, what the hell is going on? And then you start playing the piano. And you start going back to the music you learned when you were little, and
your
it makes
roots.
You really happy.
Yeah,
and
you
it makes
hit your
you
core,
really
huh?
happy, and I really kind of felt this sense of invincibility at that point. No, even though everything was falling apart, and not to say that it was like a big like born again Jesus Christ experience, but it was kind of like a big okay.
But a psychic shift.
Yeah, your whole life just stopped.
Yeah.
Your whole life just at a point where like I said, we had released the best record ever. Well, nothing. We got no press, no reviews. The entire tour for it had to be canceled, you know. In the midst of this, then the band, obviously everybody's looking at other options. Our drummer's wife wants to have a baby. So the long and short of it is I had so much time to myself that I realized how much of the other aspects of a musical life I was missing. And it's really interesting because then you look at Superstardom and the last song is a cover of a gospel song. It's a cover of Trouble of the World, which was a huge song for Mahalia Jackson, you know? And then I started thinking about its relation to gay and lesbian people. And then I started thinking, everybody's always so bitching about the religious right, but how many people have really gone in and read Genesis 9:19? How many people have really dug around in Leviticus? How many people, when somebody comes at them and says, you're going to burn in hell because you're gay, can say, oh, wait, Luke 6:22, blessed am I because you hate me in the name of Jesus. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to find a way to make this work for me because this makes me happy. And so the whole new focus is about what I'm calling biblical ammunition. And it's going back, and I'm working on a project called Take Back Your Jesus. And I'm not saying that everybody has to be Christian, or I'm not preaching any dogma. But what I'm saying is, you know what? Take what is being used against you. Find out why. Dig in there for real and be able to slam it right back. And that's the new focus.
This is really freaking exciting. I am telling you. So when are you writing on the gospel CD now?
What that's is, the other thing.
And what's your band? I mean, who's coming together
with
you on
this? Well, here's what's happening. After this show.
After the show on April 4th.
After the show on April 4th at Jackhammer, which you'll all be at.
We're plugging.
I'm selling everything and I'm disappearing. I'm going away. I'm going to a friend's home in the desert. For however long I want to sit there, because it's like anything. I've had this Jinx Titanic job now for going into 7 years without a break, except when I was laying there flat on my back.
And you don't really remember time. Time kind of stood still, and also it was unending.
I mean, I'm still dating stuff 2006,
you lost time.
Right. And so I'm going away. And my plan is to work on it. I may work a lot of the musicians. I mean, the great thing about the superstardom and the Jinx Titanic and the Super 8 Cum Shot, all the people involved, we had several personnel changes over the years, you know. And that's actually an exciting thing about all that show. The original Super 8 Cum Shot is coming back to play three songs in the middle of our set.
Very cool. Yeah. The originals.
From day one. And actually, and so I'm going to disappear. And I'm going to go, and of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, but because you never know what somebody's going to think. But everybody wants to be involved in some way. So it may be some of the same players. I hear Tucson has got a really hot music scene.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go hang out there for a while. And literally, it's like I'm taking that break. Like if I worked for a corporation, and it's like, oh, I'm going into my new thing, but I'm going to go live in Europe for 3 months. That's what I'm doing.
That's what you're doing. Yeah. Chikung.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I've set up a new website, gospeltitanic.com.
Gospeltitanic.com. Now that's where you can follow what's going on with you from thus far.
Right, because actually everything is going to kind of reconvene under one major website, which will be the johncamus.com website, which is my real name.
There you go.
And there you will have the splintering of the Jinx Titanic website will still be functional for archival purposes.
Right.
Gospel Titanic will be open. And then a lot of music that was kind of unreleased and just forgotten about for the last 6 or 7 years will start to reappear.
So, you have to call me as soon as you get back from Tucson.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about what the hell is like starting to come out of the ground.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I've got a lot of it has been research. I mean, I'm researching like old field recordings and in churches and just a lot of old gospel singers and just trying to find out, you know, it's like that stuff's juicy. And here's the other thing too. The supernatural stuff that you find, be it in esoteric texts or the Gospel of Thomas or in the Bible, that's juicy, exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Why should we let the conservatives have this?
I agree.
I think it's way...
You're on my bandwagon.
I think the whole, realm of, the supernatural world, I think that's ours to claim.
I think the most radical thing we can do is take back the Bible.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's the most
I'm with
thing.
You. Give me
Girl,
some love on that.
That's
yeah.
right. I've got so many contacts for you. I won't tell you here on the podcast, but we'll talk
great.
About them.
Yeah,
this has really been my mission, you know, my mission with kind of the revelation of the Bible being used as a weapon and us taking it back. I mean, you know, it's...
Well, I love it. I love that you're saying that because that's what the new record... I mean, I've named it already and it's going to be called Take Back Your Jesus.
There
you know?
You go.
And it's a call and everybody gets afraid.
Send it to Carrie Underwood. Maybe she could make it a big old hit.
Right. You know what? Jesus, take the wheel. You know, you gotta love the Texas Bible folk.
They gotta love them.
Hey, she's from Texas, right? Or Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Somewhere. Same thing.
I think where Reba's from. Hey, tell me who, just because we got a few more minutes, tell me who else is going to be. I know that you have Super 8 Cum Shot, the original, is going to be playing with you at the Flesh Hungry Dog Show. Can you just describe in a sense or two, like, what is the Flesh Hungry Dog Show? And it happens monthly here.
Right. Well, actually, the Flesh Hungry Dog Show sprang off of shows that we started at the Cell Block. They were the Jinx Titanic Host series, which we started, I believe, it's on that sheet of paper. It's 2002 or 2003,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And it was a monthly rock night that we could open the doors to you know, kind of like queer and queer-friendly bands.
And Gary Airedale's just continue to Gary have amazing kind of like different artists come here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a really great thing. And it was funny because Gary was actually one of our big supporters at our very first Market Day show.
Ah.
And he rallied a whole bunch of people to have the name Super 8 Cum Shot on these giant cards.
I remember it.
That were held up. And that was Gary who did that. And then after we had stopped the shows at Cell Block, he kind of picked up the torch, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so it's I think it's great that like the last Jinx Titanic Super 8 Cum Shot show.
Yeah, is with Gary.
Is at the third anniversary show of the Flesh Hungry Dog.
Yeah,
show,
it's pretty cool. And also playing that night are going to be the Jones.
Which I love the Jones.
It's like if Joan Crawford had a rock band, this is the supreme rock band.
Yeah,
that she
I think it's brilliant. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the Dirt.
David Serta.
Yeah,
brilliant. And also Bric-A-Brac, who I'm not familiar with, but sounds like super.
Yeah,
super
they've been
cool.
around for. We have a special guest too. You know who's coming?
Who's coming?
Cynthia Plastercaster.
Cynthia Plastercaster?
Cynthia Plastercaster, the original groupie Plastercaster, is coming that night.
Oh, my God. It's going to be such a party, folks. You really definitely want to come out. It's the third year, the three-year anniversary of the Flesh Hungry Dog Show. It's at Jack Hammer up here in Edgewater, in the Chicago area. It's Friday, April 4th at 9 p.m. Tickets are only $10. You can get them online for only $8 if you go to fleshhungrydog.com. We're going to have Jinx and all of his websites linked up on our show notes.
Great.
So check
Great.
Them out there. And you got to be 21 to show up, and you obviously got to be in Chicago. But check out what Jinx is doing. Check out his music. It's really always surprising, always thrilling, always fully engaged.
It's so
in all its forms. And I'm so thrilled about this new venture for you. So
thanks. Yeah, I think it's good. You know, it's like anything. It's just time and. I mean, let's go back to the Brady Bunch song. When it's time to change,
it's time to rearrange.
Rearrange who you are and what you're going to do.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Shut it down.